Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We find ourselves on 16a, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. We are three lines down from the top, second word in on the line. Now, we have been going through Megillat Esther, not quite word by word or line by line, but pretty close, and giving Chazal interpretations, rabbinic interpretations of many of the verses in Megillat Esther. So we are now up to chapter 6 in the Megillah, and what's happened is that Ahasuerus is unable to sleep at night, and he asks for the Book of Chronicles to be read. And as we described in our last recording, he wanted to see if perhaps there was a friend of his, someone that had done him a favor that he had not repaid, which in fact is Mordechai, who might be able to tell him if something was going on in his kingdom that was a threat to him. So he finds out that Mordechai saved his life, and he asks his attendants what was done to honor Mordechai for saving his life from the assassination attempt of Bigtan and Teresh. And now we are on the third line, second word in. They answer him, Lo na'asai mo davar, nothing was done for him. Amar Rava, Rava is explaining why did they tell Ahasuerus this? In other words, they're not telling him, you owe Mordechai a reward, and they could have hidden this fact. So Rava says, Lo mipnei sho'avin et Mordechai. They didn't tell him this because they loved Mordechai and they wanted to see Mordechai rewarded. Ela mipnei sho'im et Haman, because they actually hated Haman. So it was like, you know, it wasn't, so to speak, that they were friends of the Jews, but they really had grown to loathe Haman. And so they wanted to see Mordechai rewarded just to stick it to Haman. So at the same time, Haman is coming to Ahasuerus' house to ask him if he would hang Mordechai on the gallows. And the gallows, it says, asher hechin lo, that he had prepared for him, which means that Haman had prepared it for Mordechai. Tana, but we have a teaching, they reverse the words. Instead of hechin lo, he prepared it for him. Lo hechin, for him it was prepared. In other words, we're arguing already that the gallows was prepared for Haman, and in fact Haman is hung on those very gallows. As we explained earlier when we argued that Memuchan, Haman's Ahasuerus' advisor, was actually Haman, we said that he was called Memuchan because he was Muchan lepuranut. He was already prepared for suffering. Here you have a gallows that's also Muchan. It's ready and waiting for Haman to be hung on it. So Haman comes to stand in front of Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus asks him this cryptic leading question. What should be done to the person whom the king wants to show great honor to? And Haman answers what he would want, because he assumes that the king is talking about him, and he tells the king that he should take the king's horse and the crown and the king's clothes and parade the person to show respect as if he were the king through the streets of the city. So when he says this, Ahasuerus then responds to him, Va'asechein l'Mordechai. So he says, L'Mordechai Yehudi, but we'll see how the Gemara explains this in a second. He basically tells Haman to do what Haman had always wanted to have done to him, to do it to Mordechai. So we have, it's kind of a humorous scene. The Gemara imagines that Haman tries to get out of it. So the king says to him, do that to Mordechai. Amar Lei, Manu Mordechai. He's like, who is this guy Mordechai? I don't know a Mordechai. Amar Lei, then Ahasuerus says to him, Hayehudi, you know Mordechai, the Jewish guy. Amar Lei, he says back to him, Tuva Mordechai Ika be Yehudai. There's a lot of Mordechais. Every other guy in Shul is named Mordechai. I don't know who you're talking about. Amar Lei, so he says to him, Hayoshev Bishar HaMelech, the Mordechai who's a Jew who sits in the courtyard of the king. So then he can't get out of it. You know, now he knows which Mordechai it is. So Amar Lei, he says back to Ahasuerus, Hagos Habach adds one word here. He adds the word Ahu Sagile. He says, that guy, Mordechai, it would be enough for him. You don't have to parade him through the city on the king's horse. It would be enough for him, Bechad Diskarta, if you give him one small town so that he's like a landowner. O Nami Bechad Nahara, or you give him one waterway, because then he can charge a tax on the waterway. Any ships that go on the water will have to pay him, and it will be a source of income for him. So he says, just give him a little, give him the kind of gift that a king gives, a little town to own, to charge taxes on, or a waterway. That's it. That'll be enough. Amar Leh, so Achashver says to him, Hanami Havle, give that to him also. It's interesting. I don't know. There's no record if Achashverosh ever actually gave him such a thing. He did give him Haman's house. But did he also get a city and a waterway? I don't know. And then Achashverosh says to him, Al tapil davar mikol asher dibarta. Every single thing that you have suggested, meaning all the stuff about the horse and the king's clothes, and also the garrison town, and also the waterway, don't omit one single thing. So then the Megillah continues, Vaikach Haman et halavush v'atasus, and so Haman took the clothing and the horse. And in the Megillah, it says that he immediately, you know, took Mordechai around the city the way he said he would. In the Gemara, they add an additional scene. It says, Azal, he went with the clothing and the horse. Ashkeche, and he found him, that is, he found Mordechai. Diyatve Rabbanan Kameh, that all of the rabbis were sitting in front of him. In other words, in this imagining, Mordechai is sitting there giving shir to all the other rabbis. Umacha velehu, and he is demonstrating to them, Hilchot Kemitza l'Rabbanan, and he is demonstrating the laws of Kemitza to the Rabbanan. Now, the laws of Kemitza are the laws of how you take a certain part of a flour offering in the Beit HaMikdash. You take a handful of flour, and you smooth it out, and then you offer that handful of flour on the altar, and the rest of the flour is eaten. So he is teaching them this halacha. Now, this halacha happens to be particularly relevant, as we learned in our previous recordings. This day was probably the 16th of Nisan, so it's the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's the day after you have the first Seder at night and the first day of Yontif and the following day. So this is the second day of Pesach, and it's on the second day of Pesach usually that the Korban Omer, which is a flour offering, is brought on that day, and you would have to do a kemitza of flour in order to bring the Omer offering and start the counting of the Omer. Kevan dechazie Mordechai, when Mordechai saw Haman coming to greet him, to apik lekable, he was coming out to greet him, visuse, and his horse, miyache biyade, was in his hand. He saw that, you know, a delegation from the king was coming to get him. Mirtat, he became afraid. Amar lehu l'rabanan, he said to them, to the rabbis who were sitting there listening to his shir, Hai Rishia, this wicked guy, Haman, lemiktal nafshi ka'ate, he is coming to kill my, to take away my life, to kill my soul, he is coming. Zilu mikame, go run away from him. Dilo tichvu begachalato, so that you are also not burned with his coal, with his fiery coals. In other words, don't get out of here so that you are also not punished by this wicked guy, Haman. Behahi shata, at that moment, which was a moment of danger, nit'atef Mordechai, put his cloak, his talus, over his head, v'kamle litzlota, and he got up and started to daven. Now, I don't know what he was davening exactly. I don't know if it was time to daven, shacharis, mincha, or mariv, or if he was saying shema because he thought he was about to be martyred by Haman, about to be killed by Haman, that Haman had finally gotten permission from the king to kill him. But he wraps himself up to daven. Ata Haman, so Haman comes, and Haman has orders from the king to get Mordechai, but in the meantime, Mordechai is in the middle of davening. So V'yativ le'kamayhu, Haman sits down in front of him, v'orich, and he waits, ad desalik Mordechai litzlote, until Mordechai finishes his davening. And while he's sitting there waiting for Mordechai to finish davening, Amar lehu, he says to the other rabbis, who apparently didn't listen to Mordechai and did not run away, they're still sitting there, the other rabbis or the rabbinic students, he says to them, B'mayaskitu, what are you guys learning? this is a great story. It's a really funny story. Amrule, they say to him, Bizman shebeit HaMikdash kayam, when the temple existed, which is now, you know, around 70 years ago, as we've seen, man de menadev mincha, one who would offer to bring a flower offering. So menadev is a nedava, it's a voluntary offering. So he's not, they're not mentioning here the laws of the Omer, because the Omer is a public offering that's required to be offered on the 16th of Nisan. Here, they're talking about a minchat nedava, a flower offering that was offered voluntarily. But when a person would offer a flower offering, and usually a person that made a voluntary flower offering was very poor and could not afford to bring a meat offering, so they did the best they could. Mighty, he would bring male kumtse de sulta. He would bring a handful, basically one handful of flour, umit kaperle, and he would achieve atonement, kapara, by that. And the reason a poor person could do it is because at the end of the day, you really only had to offer a handful of flour on the altar. So they started teaching Haman about the laws of kamitza and the laws of flour offerings, of menachot. Amar lohu, he said to them, and it sounds, I think you can inject a sort of tone of bitterness here, because Haman sees that things are going the wrong way. Ata mele kumtse kumcha didchu, your handful of flour is coming, v'dache is pushing away asara alfe kikare kaspa, the 10,000 talents of silver didi of mine, meaning I tried to kill the Jews by offering Ahasuerus 10,000 talents of silver, and here you are saving the Jews by continuing to learn Torah about the laws of Kemitza. So Mordechai overhears him having this conversation, and he suddenly interjects. Amar Le, he says to Haman, Rasha, you're a wicked person. Eved shekana nechasim, if you have a servant who acquires property, Eved lemi unechasim lemi, who is the servant and to whom does his property belong? This is a rhetorical question. A servant is not allowed to acquire property for himself. Any property that he acquires belongs to his master. So what Mordechai is saying here, based on a previous midrash that we learned a couple of recordings ago, was that Haman had sold himself to Mordechai when he was very poor for a loaf of bread, and he still, in a way, belonged to Mordechai. So Mordechai says, to whom do those 10,000 silver pieces belong? Not to you. They belong to me. In other words, they don't belong to you, Haman. They belong to the Jewish people. So he interjects. That's the end of that story. So at that point, Haman basically gets, or the end of that part of the story. Then Haman gets Mordechai, and he says, Amar Leh, says to him, Kum levush hane mane. Get up and put on these clothes, because these are the clothes that Uruchov haisuse, and get on ride on this horse. Debai lach malka. This is what the king has asked of you. Meaning, he doesn't know the whole story, but the king, based on Haman's suggestion, has now said that he should put on these clothes and ride on this horse. Amar Leh said to him, Lo yachilna, I can't put on those clothes and ride on that horse. Ad da'ailana lebe bane, until I go to the bathhouse. The eshkol lemazi, and get a haircut. Delav orach ara, it is not respectful. Now, orach ara is the same as derech eretz. In Aramaic, orach is a pathway. It's and in Hebrew too, it's the same as derech. And ara is the same as artsa. The ayin and the tzadi switch from Hebrew to Aramaic. So orach ara means it's not derech eretz. Lishtamushe, to use b'mane de malka, with the clothing of the king, when I haven't bathed or taken a haircut. So in a way, and we'll see here what's happening here, is that Mordechai is playing with Haman, and he is prolonging and provoking Haman's humiliation. Why he's doing this, I don't know. Is it a good thing to do? I don't know. We talked earlier in the Masechta about whether or not you should fight with the wicked. And we said you should not fight with the wicked when the times are favoring them. But here the times are not favoring Haman, so perhaps it's appropriate for him to fight with the wicked. So Hachi, at that time, Shadra Esther gets involved. She sends out messengers, Va'asartinhu lekule bebane, and she tells all the bathhouses in the city to close up shop. The Marsha says that she just told all the attendants to hide. Ulekulhu umane, and all of the artisans, the haircutters. Now, of course, haircutters at those times were barbers. So they were not just haircutters, they were also leechers, or people that bled people. But anyway, ulekulhu umane, all these people that cut hair. She told them to hide. Ailu ihu lebei bane. So then he himself, because he couldn't find anyone else to do it, Haman himself had to go up lebei bane to the bathhouse, the aschei, and he had to bathe Mordechai like he was a servant. Va'azal va'aisi zuza mi beite. He had to go get a zuza, which is a kind of a scissors, a shears, mi beite, from his own house. He had to go get his own scissors. The kashakil be'mazie, and he had to take off his hair, Mordechai's hair. So he had to give him his haircut himself. Bahade the kashakile, and as he is doing this, during the time that Haman is doing this, in God, he like leans over v'itnach, and he sighs. Like Haman is in the middle of being totally humiliated, and he sort of is frustrated. So Amar le, so Mordechai says to him, Amai kam itnachat, what are you sighing about? Why are you so frustrated? Amar le, so Haman says back to Mordechai, Gavra dahava chashiv le lemalka mikulhu rav rivinohi. A gavra is a man, like gever, even in modern Hebrew, gever is a man. A man who is more important to the king, lemalka means to the king, mikulhu, from all of them, rav rivinohi, all of the nobles and aristocrats. So I'm the most important guy in the whole kingdom. Hashta lishavuye balani visapar. Now I have been turned into or become the same as a bath attendant and a barber. And he's like sort of like bemoaning the fact that it's beneath his dignity to be doing these things. Amar le, so Mordechai says to him, and I'm now towards the end of the line, two lines up from the Tosfot, so right before the lines get skinny in the middle of the page. Amar le says to him, Rasha, you're a wicked person. V'lav sapar shel kfar kartzum hayita? Weren't you the barber of the town of Kartzum? Tana, and then the Gemara inserts in a parenthetical note, Haman sapar shel kfar kartzum haya esrim ushtayim shana. Haman had been earlier in his life the barber of Kfar Kartzum for 22 years. So it's not as if it was really below his dignity. He had just left that life behind and had become nouveau riche. He'd become important now, but he had always, he was originally a barber, and he's just returning to his origins. Maybe that's why he had barber shears in his house. So basically Mordechai's telling him, you've gotten too big for your britches. Remember your humble origins. Okay. Batar dishaklinu lemazie, once he gave him a haircut, lavshinu lemane, he dressed him in the clothes. Amar le, he said to him, sak urchav, go on, get up on the horse and ride. Amar le, so Mordechai says to him, lo yachilna, I can't get up on the horse. Dikechisha chilai mimeta anita, I have become thin and weak from the days of my fasting, because Mordechai had been fasting for 3 days, as Esther told him to. So he said, I'm feeling very, very weak from 3 days of fasting. I can't get up on the horse. So Haman gachin, he has to bend over, like put his hands on the ground and make a step. V'salik, and Mordechai went up on his back. Kisalik, when he stepped on his back, ba'at be, he gave him a kick, like gave him a kick in the ribs, just to add to the insult. Amar le, so Haman's complaining. He says, Lo k'tiv l'chud, isn't it written in your Torah? All the great villains in the Talmud know how to quote Tanakh. He says, Bin fol oyivcha al tismach, you're not supposed to enjoy the downfall of your enemy. And here you are clearly enjoying my humiliation. It's not right. That's not what it says in the Torah. Amar le, so Mordechai says to him, Hane mile bi Yisrael, that's referring to other Jews who are your enemies. Of a bedidchu ketiv, but you non-Jews, anti-Semites, it says, Viata alba matemo tidroch, you will tread on their high places. So by my walking on your back and giving you a kick, I'm fulfilling what the Torah says. Okay, so that's the end of that whole part of the story. The next verse that the Gemara quotes is the third skinny line in the middle of the page. It says, Vayikra lefanav, he called before him, Haman called before Mordechai, Kacha ye'aseh le'ish, this is what we do to a man, asher ha'melech hafetz bikaro, that the king desires to show how valuable he is. Okay, now this is a very famous story, you may have heard this before, but here it is in the original. Ki hava nakit v'azil bishvila de behaman, when he went into and went onto the shvil, the street of the house of Haman. So they went into the alleyway or the street by Haman's house. Chazite Barte, Haman's daughter, saw him. Dekaima a igra, she was standing on the roof. The roof was probably some kind of, not a slanted roof, it was a flat roof. So people did go up there, and this was a whole big spectacle. So she probably went on the roof to get a good view. So she was standing on the roof. Savra, she thought to herself, Hai de Rachi Vavuha, the person riding on the horse is her father. Vahai de Mazge Kame, and the one who is leading in front of him, Mordechai, is Mordechai. Shakla Atsitza de Beta Kise, she took the night soil pot, the pot where they, what do they call those things? Chamber pot, that's what they're called. She took the chamber pot. Vishadite Aresha Davua, and then she emptied it on her father's head. Dali Ene, then he lifted up his eyes. Vachazat Davuahu, and she saw that it was her father that she just emptied the chamber pot on. Nafla me igra la ara umeta, then she fell off. She was so shocked that she fell off the roof and she died. Vahainu dichtiv, and this is why the Megillah says, Vayashav Mordechai al Shar Melech, Mordechai went back to the gate of the king. Amar of Sheshet Sheshav Lesako Ulatanito, as soon as he was paraded through the city, he went back to his sackcloth and his fasting for the Jewish people to be saved. Of course, what we said was happening right before this was that he was teaching the rabbis of the laws of Kamisa. So maybe it should have said that Sheshav Le Talmudo, that he went back to his Torah learning. But anyway, here it says he went back to, you know, to davening for the Jewish people. V'haman nidchaf el beito, and Haman was sort of dragged back to his house. Avel, he was mourning. V'chafui rosh, and his head was covered. So why was he mourning? Avel al beito, he was mourning for his daughter who had just died. V'chafui rosh, and he covered his head in shame al she'iralo, for what had happened to him over the course of the last few hours. We will stop there. This was just a simple story, not even hardly any verses or any rabbinic interpretation, just a story about Haman's comeuppance at the hands of Mordechai. We'll continue in the next recording. Have a wonderful day.